This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 174, Things Aren't Always What They Seem. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Welcome to the Building Resilience Podcast. Today, I'm going to start off by sharing with you one of my favorite stories, and you likely have heard of it because it's a popular story. And there's actually variations of this story, but this one is called The Farmer and His Horse. An old farmer lives on his farm with his teenage son. He also has a beautiful stallion that he lovingly cares for. Well, the farmer enters his stallion into the annual county fair competition, and his stallion wins first prize. The farmer's neighbors gather to congratulate him on his great win, and he calmly says, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" Puzzled by this reaction, the neighbors go away. The next week, some thieves who heard about the stallion's increased value steal the horse. And when the neighbors come to commiserate with the farmer, they find him again very calm and very gathered. And he says, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" Several days later, the spirited stallion escapes from the thieves and finds his way back to the farm, bringing with him a few wild mares he has befriended along the way. To his neighbor's excited round of congratulations, the old farmer once again says, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" A few weeks later, the farmer's son is thrown off one of these new mares as he's trying to break it in. His leg is fractured. As the neighbors gather to commiserate with the old farmer, he once again reminds them, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" The following week, the imperial army marches through the village, conscripting all eligible young men for the war that has just broken out. The neighbors no longer bother to come to the old farmer to congratulate him. By now, they know what his response will be. Who knows what is good and what is bad? This story was also a story that was in the movie Charlie Wilson's War, where a CIA officer played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, he cautions Wilson's character, played by Tom Hanks, not to be so too sure that they have done something glorious in helping to chase the Soviets out of Afghanistan. Now, to make the point, he tells this fable of a Zen master and a boy, and it goes something like this. On his 16th birthday, a boy gets his horse as a present. All the people in the village say, "Oh, how wonderful." And the Zen master says, "We'll see." One day the boy is riding and gets thrown off the horse and hurts his leg. He's no longer able to walk. So all the villagers say, "How terrible." The Zen master says, "We'll see." Some time passes. The villagers go to war. All of the other young men get sent off to fight, but this boy can't fight because his leg is messed up. And all the villagers say, "How wonderful." And the Zen master says, "We'll see." So pretty much the same concept. Like I said, there's variations of the story. We'll see. Who knows what is good and what is bad? This story really highlights how we actually don't know what is good and what is bad in our lives all the time. Have you ever been faced with some adversity in your life that really seemed overwhelming or maybe insurmountable, and you felt like nothing good can come out of it? And maybe you cringe when somebody would say to you, like, "Everything happens for a reason," or "It will all work out," or "You'll learn so much from this," or "It was not meant to be," or "It was meant to be." And I don't think that anyone wishes for challenges. I think we decide in our minds that some challenges are much worse than other challenges, and you would prefer to have the challenge that somebody else has because maybe it seems easier to you. Now, however you view it, challenges, trials, adversity, they're not wanted. There's no two ways about it. And whether you like it or not, that cliche version of why challenges happen, unfortunately, it doesn't really matter. Your challenge doesn't really care what you think or feel or like or dislike. It is there. It is reality, and it will run its course. Your only real power is to decide what you will do while the challenge is around, while it runs its course. And I love this example of the story of the stallion, because I do love how the farmer doesn't get all excited and say, yay, this challenge is a good thing. But he doesn't fall to pieces right away either. He kind of stays neutral. He's open to the idea that it could be a bad thing or it could be a good thing. He's open to the possibility that something good can come out of a situation that is seemingly not so good. Now, we all have the choice of how we will face our challenges. Maybe we're not going to face them with excitement. Maybe we won't face them with despair either. Maybe it is possible to face them with a little bit of openness and try that farmer's attitude of who knows what is good and what is bad. Now, I think of this often when we talk about relationships. You may have heard me talk about how in relationships, it's not the rupture that matters, but the repair. I'm going to have a whole upcoming episode all about that because I think it's such an important concept. So it kind of means like we'll mess up in relationships. We will have falling outs. We'll make mistakes. But what is important is the attempt to repair. I've been in relationships before where there was a rupture. I'm sure you've been in one too. And then when nothing was done or no efforts were made for the repair, time passes. And then maybe the person will say something like, oh, why can't you just get over it? Why can't you just move on or get past it? Now, often the problem is that there has been no repair or no attempt made for a repair. Now, it is still my choice to get over things or not, but an attempt to repair can be really helpful. An attempt to repair can actually strengthen the relationship. So we think that a rupture is the worst thing that can happen. But what if it is actually the thing that draws us together because it gives us an opportunity to repair? So really, who knows what is good or what is bad when we mess up in relationships? I think one of the worst things or the biggest challenges that ever happened to me personally was when I got divorced. Even though it was not a healthy relationship, I clearly see that now. At the time, I was devastated. I thought it was the end of the world. And I didn't want to hear people say to me that maybe it was for the best. I wasn't ready to hear that. But in the end, what seemed like the worst thing ever ended up being the best thing. Getting divorced meant I was now available to meet the love of my life. I was able to meet someone and create a relationship that was better than I thought possible. And I used to give this example to my kids all the time, because it's really hard for kids from divorced families to really understand love and marriage, because kids want to feel that they were brought into a world surrounded by love, even though their parents' relationship ended in divorce. And it gets really hard to understand when you see one of your parents go on and remarry or find a new partner and be really happy. Hopefully both do, but it can be hard for them. It can be hard for them to see if the other one doesn't go on and find new love. So I used to have conversations with my kids about this because they were sort of curious about getting married and then divorced and then what happens next. And I used to give them an example using two of my favorite drinks, milk and chocolate milk. And I would say to them, way back in the beginning, I loved milk, icy cold milk in a tall glass. And it went down so well, especially with a big cookie or piece of chocolate. It was the most delicious drink. I love my milk and I could drink it all the time. But one day later on, I tried chocolate milk. Now, this is where it kind of gets tricky with this analogy, because it's not like I was running around trying to find a better drink. For me, milk was just unavailable. And I just so happened to find chocolate milk later on. And then I thought I had died and gone to heaven. It was so good. I loved it and couldn't get enough of it. It was so addictive. I could have had it all the time. Now, just a little side note here. Canadian chocolate milk and American chocolate milk, it does taste different. So if you ever come to Canada, you have to try it, because I personally think it tastes much better in Canada. So just a little side note. Now, before I knew that chocolate milk existed, I had loved my old plain milk, but my plain milk was good, especially when that was all I knew. I didn't know chocolate milk existed, but when I got the taste of it, there was no going back. So I know it's a bit of a goofy analogy. So my point is not to keep drinking from every cup until you find the best drink. But my point is sometimes you need to experience a few different drinks in life to know the difference in taste. We don't necessarily know what is good and what is bad when we have limited experiences. And then there are things where you don't know what's good or bad, like getting rejected. like getting rejected from a job. I remember once when Rob was interviewing for a job and he had asked a question after, you know, had been through the process. And the company didn't really like his question. They had already given him the offer. He asked the question. They ended up rescinding the offer. And he felt horrible. We both felt horrible because it actually was a job that we thought was going to be a really great job for our family. And who knows, maybe it would have worked out or maybe not. We chose to assume, okay, it wasn't meant to be, that rejection is God's protection. And shortly after, another opportunity did come up, which actually was a better fit. Now, I don't want to leave the impression that things are always smooth and they always end up working out. Sometimes there are things in life, who knows what is good or bad, that we just can't justify. We just can't understand. We can't get our head around it. There maybe is no real good reason and there's no sense. Back in the fall, I did an episode on the podcast with my daughter-in-law, Rachel, who shared about the loss of her brother to suicide last summer. And we talked a lot about trying to make sense of it. And we've talked individually about this as well. And trying to make sense of it is likely not going to happen. And there may be some people who try to make you feel better by trying to give you reasons. But sometimes you may just have to accept that there is absolutely no reason that you're going to come up with. But as I've said to Rachel, can you find meaning in it? Can you create meaning? Not meaning why it happened, but because it happened, what can you now do with it? And that is what she is trying to do by spreading awareness about suicide. What happened was senseless and such a huge loss, but she can create meaning. And it made me think when we were having these conversations about an interview that Michael Caine did back in 2002. And he shared one of his philosophies in life, and this was to use the difficulty. And I'll read for you what he actually said in the interview. He said, "I was rehearsing a play when I was a very young actor, and I had to come to the scene. It was a stage play. I'm behind the flats waiting to open the door. There was an improvised scene between a husband and wife going on inside, and then they got carried away and they started throwing things, and he threw a chair and it lodged the doorway. And then when I went to open the door, I just got my head around it. And I said, like, I'm sorry, sir, I can't get in. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, there's a chair there. And he said to me, use the difficulty. And I was like, what do you mean? And so Michael Caine said, well, if it's comedy, fall over it. If it's a drama, pick it up and smash it. Use the difficulty. And then Michael Caine said he took this into his own life. And he said, you can ask his children, anything bad happens and they go, okay, we've got to use the difficulty. How can we work? What can we get out of this? Use the difficulty. That there's never anything so bad that you cannot use the difficulty. If you can use it a quarter of 1% to your advantage, you're ahead. You didn't let it go, didn't let it get you down. And that was his philosophy, to use the difficulty. So sometimes the big mess, the big challenge, the big obstacle is your message, that we need to use it. We need to create meaning in it. Now, lastly, I love the saying, don't worry about making the right choice. Worry about making the choice right. Not sure who said it, but I would modify it a bit. Instead of worry about making the choice right, I would swap it out with choose to make the choice right. Because you know what? Who knows what is good or what is bad? We get to decide to choose our interpretations. We get to decide to use the difficulty. We get to decide to try to stay neutral when things come up. We get to decide to go around and try different things and sample different things to see if we can come up with an experience that works for us and resonates with us. So maybe some of my examples are a bit random, but I hope you get the overall point. Things aren't always what they seem. We never know what will end up serving us. We can use the difficulty. We can make the message our mess. We can choose to make choices, the right ones. And sometimes things will just not make sense. So you'll have to show yourself a lot of love, a lot of compassion, surround yourself with those who uplift you, and just keep going. That's what I have for you today. Make a great week, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.